I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Back to the Tommy John Show. It is January 26th, the 1 year anniversary of our dear Kobe Bryant's death. I'm joined by Daniel San, and how you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well. Kobe, RIP Kobe. Sad. Is it the 1 year? Not today.
I think so.
Oh, is it today?
That's what I saw on the Twitter.
Really?
And maybe I Snapchat too. Maybe even Instagram. Kobe. Could have been Facebook.
Oscar winner.
Kobe? Oh, yeah. Technically, yeah. Right?
Yeah, he's an Oscar winner.
For Coco.
For that.
I don't know.
No, he made a movie about himself. It was like an animated. He won it was a short. Him, it wasn't like he had something to do with it. But I remember he has an Oscar, so.
Well, that's good for, nothing's really good for him, I think we could say, right now. But at the time, it was good for him.
I mean, the accolades, it's good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he died a legend. Yeah.
He will always be a legend. But it's very sad for his family and
yeah.
R.I.P. Kobe.
R.I.P. Kobe. But you know what, Dan? I got a bone to pick with you.
Yeah, pick it.
Listen, you know, this is a pretty big podcast. We can agree.
We can agree that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Stanley would agree.
Stanley definitely would agree. I'm going to need you to, because, all right, I'm going to be honest with you. I got people lining up to be my co-host.
Okay.
And let's be honest. In that, you know, line, you ain't shit, Dan.
I ain't shit?
No, I'm gonna beat your ass.
You're going to beat my ass?
Yeah, I'm going to beat your ass, dude.
Beat his ass, Seabass. Kick his ass, Seabass. So who do we got lined up?
Joe Rogan.
Oh, you got Joe Rogan? I was actually listening to Joe Rogan today.
Really? Which one?
He'd probably he would make a much better co-host. I was just listening.
That would be
going
a big
down,
get.
I was going down a DMT, DMT rabbit hole. When he's just like, Joe Rogan's so he's so into DMT.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you go into like a different universe and you talk to the, you know, the different entities and your ego. I was just watching a bunch of, I watched one with Mike Tyson. There's different kinds of DMT, and Joe Rogan knows all of them.
Oh, of course he does.
There's one that is extracted from, it's not even extracted, it's literally a toad in the desert. You take it and squeeze it gently onto glass, and then it dries in the glass, and you chip it off and smoke it. And that's what Mike Tyson did. It's pretty interesting. But
I believe my boy Sturgill Simpson was on talking to Joe Rogan about DMT.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people are doing it.
I mean, I saw a TikTok the other day where somebody's like, I remember like 3 months that didn't happen
for
trip on DMT.
I saw the guy's like, listen, people who are saying that like your time goes like weird when you're on DMT, I have 3 months where I lived and I came back and it never happened, but I still remember it.
Yeah.
It was that one. Yeah. I saw that guy. I don't know, like, I've never done DMT, so I don't know the legitimacy of stories of – I watched that – the Spirit Molecule where I think Joe Rogan, like, is the introduction – like, he does, like, a little introduction. Maybe that's that one. There's one where they – it's, like, a clinical study where they – people do DMT, and a lot of them see the same thing. But, again, I don't know if that's based on just – like, it's a psychedelic drug based on, like, hearing other people. Like – they might have similar experiences because of outside factors, like hearing these, you go to a place and you talk to someone knowing that going in, you may experience that because you know that, but I don't know. Again, DMT scares me.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know what DMT stands for?
Dimethyltryptamine?
No. Dr. Mario tincture?
Dr. Mario tincture.
Yeah. that's the official name. I'm sure other one you said was probably like a slang name for it, but... Yeah,
dimethyltryptamine?
Yeah, yeah. That's what they're using on the streets, but, at the CIA and the weird DEA, slang. They talk about Dr. Mario tincture. So,
Dr. Mario tincture. Yo, you get that Dr. Mario tincture? Dude, took me to another world.
Yeah. Which world? Was it the underwater level? That was beautiful.
So, you're firing me? You got people lined up?
Nah, I'm not firing you. I'm just letting you know. You're on thin ice, buddy.
I'm on thin ice.
Speaking,
polar bear way.
Ah, shit! Enough to break the
enough
ice.
Enough to break the ice. All right.
All right. Speaking of not drugs, but like stuff that affects you. I guess it's kind of a drug. I the other night for the first time took a melatonin.
Yeah, it's a chemical that's secreted by your body naturally, but technically it's a drug.
Have you ever had like a melatonin supplement?
My dad used to take them all the time. And when I couldn't sleep, I would just take them. He had them in like the bathroom. They had like little pills. So yeah, I took melatonin a lot actually.
Really? Now, how do you feel about them?
I was young. Young as in I was probably like anywhere from 2 or 13 to 16 when I was just popping them. And I don't know if I noticed. It wasn't like, whoa. I just went back to sleep and I would sleep.
Like, so, you would get up, take one, and go back to sleep?
No, like, I'd take one, like, I'd brush my teeth, and then I'd take a melatonin and go to bed. And it usually worked.
Yeah, yeah. I read that the first time you take it, you got to make sure you don't really have a lot going on the next day.
Like, why? I took. Make you feel groggy?
Well, no, it's just you don't know how your body's going to react to it. Like, so I took it, man, and, like, you know, it says, like, take 30 minutes before bed. I took it. I laid down, watched, like, a few TikToks, and then I was, like, just out, like, right away and had the deepest sleep of my life. It was insane. I had so many dreams.
Really? You remember them?
I remember quite a few of them.
Oh, really?
The first one. Was I was in Farmingdale, New Jersey, Main Street. I lived in Farmingdale at one point, and some of our friends did as well. there was a. Are you aware of the Proud Boys?
I am aware of them. I mean, I'm aware they're a. I don't know exactly what they are. I just know from social media and things they're a racist group.
Yeah, I mean, they're like alt-righty.
Like KKK.
They're very white power, and, you know. Basically, they were having a parade.
In Farmingdale. In your dream. What are you dreaming about the Proud Boys for?
Well, I don't know. So they were having a parade through not just Farmingdale, the whole state of New Jersey. It was going to go through every town.
Big parade.
And I was, like, in Farmingdale for some reason, and I was like, I'll check it out. And like, I was like, you know, kind of waiting around, and all of a sudden I hear gunshots. I'm like, and the cop like next to me is like, oh yeah, they're allowed to just shoot. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to get out of here. So I kind of like try to hide away from the gunshots, and I find this like girl on a bench, and I'm like, holy shit, this is crazy. She's like, you know what you should do is take this mushroom. And
like,
I said,
like a psilocybin mushroom,
or
is it like a Dr. Mario tincture mushroom,
like a Dr. Mario tincture mushroom. And I took the mushroom, and her head started blowing up like an airhead balloon. from the commercials.
Yeah.
And mine started shrinking down like that one shrunken head in Beetlejuice.
Did I send you the Beetlejuice, Bernie Sanders one where he's sitting on the couch?
Oh, no, you didn't.
In between, you know, the small headed guy and the. Yeah, there's so many of those.
Oh, the Bernie Sanders meme? Big meme. Big meme.
Big meme.
Big meme.
So go on, sorry.
So that happens. And then, like, later, I'm walking, down this field to, go to my car. And then I couldn't get into the car, so I started walking back, and I found the cops. And they were like, this is our, radio station right here. This is, how we communicate with, every other cop. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. I'll stay here because it's probably safe. And then they started, the Proud Boys started shooting at the radio thing. And the cop was like...
At the radio station?
Not the radio station, the satellite thing or whatever. And okay. And then the cop was like, oh, yeah, they're not allowed to shoot people, but they're allowed to shoot this...
Radio station.
And then I got shot, right? And it wasn't like I got shot and woke up. I got shot and it was like I came up to the cop. I'm like, did I get shot? And he looked at me.
You did?
And he's like,
well, they're allowed to do that.
Oh, he's like, oh, yeah, you did. It went right through you. And then he told me I was dead. And then I was. And then I floated around and watched the parade.
Really? So I've died in one. There's one dream I can recall that I died in. And I don't know. I specifically remember because I know a lot of people that have never died in their dreams. And because people are like, oh, if you die in your dreams. But I died in my dream and became the narrator. And I remember it specifically, Ed and Eddie. So something was going on. Something, it was like I don't know if it was the king or queen. Something was going on in the UK, wherever, or not, you know, whatever, England, wherever someone was having a big thing. And I remember Ed and Eddie had a trebuchet, a catapult.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get a plane. So they were like, well, we got to just catapult ourselves across the ocean. And it was on a building and looking out at the ocean. And I remember they were like, yeah, just do it. And so I got on and I remember getting thrown and not even going that far and just going into the water. And as soon as I hit the water, I died and became the narrator.
Wow.
And I was just watching everything and watching this. I remember it as almost, I think it was because there's a movie called The Swan Princess. And they have I don't know if it's, you know, when people with castles throw balls, there's always that, all the carriages coming in.
Trebuchet. Throw balls. I was thinking the trebuchet was throwing balls, but no, I know what you mean.
No,
you were throwing dances. Yeah.
And but you know when there's always all the people coming in carriages and coming up to the, and that's where Ed and Eddie, they made it there, and I was just narrating.
Good for them.
As the people were coming in through the carriages, and it was just a very, I don't remember much after that. At least now, I just remember the very specific Ed and Eddie were there. They had a trebuchet, and I died, and then became the narrator of the dream. I don't know what happens. I don't even know what was there any point? Was there a plot to this? I don't think so. But remember that. That's the one dream that I remember I died in.
Have you ever had a wet dream?
Yeah, I actually did, and you were there. You don't not in my dream. You were actually in. I was on the ground at our cousin's house. The only one I've ever had, it was the weirdest thing. It was a weird, I was in a tub with a girl, and I remember things were happening, and I woke up, and I was laying on the ground at one of our, one of our cousins'
house. One of them, doesn't matter.
It was just, I was staying at, I was just sleeping on the ground, I don't know. But I do. It's the weirdest thing, and I will never forget that. And it was only happened once, and never happened again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I knew it happened at the time.
No, I don't think you. Now you do. You probably don't even remember that time because it's not that. It probably wasn't that memorable to you that day.
Yeah,
but it was to me because this thing happened.
Yeah, man, I've never had an official wet dream.
Official you.
Like, it never, where it was actually wet, you know?
I had never had it before. Dreams. Dude, it was so weird. So weird.
Strange, man. Strange. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Dreams are weird, and the melatonin weird.
I've actually, it's funny that you say that. I've been looking into a lot about dreams recently, because I've never lucid dreamed. I've never been able to like control. And
anyone
that has told me, because people used to, you know, people are like, I just go to sleep and I control my. I'm like, shut the fuck up. No, you don't. People are like, no, I do. I control. Like, no, you don't. Shut up. Because even the things I've read, it's like you don't usually have full control. It's not.
It's like you're nudging it in certain ways.
Or you like you understand that it's a dream and you can affect it, but you don't like you can't just be like, all right, change to this, because you constantly you forget that it's even remembering, you still forget. But then I read some things that are like you can literally go into your dream and practice guitar and practice, you know, languages.
Oh,
like,
come on. Yeah, no. This.
And but I would like to, again, not like fully control, but actually I've never really known. There's been times where I'm like, I know this is a dream, but I've never had any control. I've never been able to affect it.
Yeah.
But I find that very interesting because people have, like, there is people that can do that, affect it. But I think some people just embellish things a little bit to make, you know, to make it like, oh, yeah, I can do whatever I want. I'd be like, well, then why aren't you sleeping all the time? I would be sleeping all the time if you pretty much have a VR set on your head. Mm-hmm. You can just be like, all right, well, I'm going to go play a video game I created in my mind. Because why wouldn't you?
Dude,
I would want to sleep. If I could lucid dream like that, I would want to sleep all the time. I'd be like, I'm going to take some melatonin.
Why wake up?
Bed. Right?
But
maybe, dude, we're in a dream now.
You saying this desperately makes me want to see like a TikTok of some guy, you know, talking about lucid dreams. Like, yeah, you can learn guitar in your dreams or something like that. And then to make like a, you know, whatever, a stitch to it where like I'm like dreaming and then I get up and then I go to play guitar and it's just ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. It's just like not good.
But then you look up and I did it.
I did it. It worked.
You never said well.
Yeah,
I now can play the guitar.
man. Yeah. So, dreams. I had another dream on the melatonin, but I've forgotten that one at this point. But the Proud Boys one was the, I guess, the highlight, which is pretty bizarre.
Well, you want to know, actually, there's no evidence to prove it, but people speculate because DMT naturally forms in a lot of in humans, but there's no like evidence that some people say it comes from the pineal gland. Some people think that DM like small amounts because it actually is formed in your lungs, in the human small amounts in the human lungs.
What
not,
does
they don't know DMT naturally in humans.
So my lungs are forming the Dr. Mario tincture.
I don't know. I don't fully understand it, but
We don't need to be checked.
That DMT is partially responsible for dreams, and that's what I've been very interested in. Dreams have led me to DMT, and DMT led me to Joe Rogan. Just talking about DMT.
You know, Joe Rogan, man, I have such mixed feelings on Joe Rogan.
Dude, I am the same way. Because I'll watch podcasts where I'm like, dude, that was a great podcast. And then he'll just say shit. And I'm just like, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that.
I think it's the cult of personality, the Joe Rogan like kind of world that like kind of gets me. It's like, you know, and it's a lot of the like extreme like manliness kind of thing behind him. And that, which
but that's
is
where
fine.
He came from. Like, because, you know, UFC and just where it's how he was developed as a person. Because you got to eat elk meat and just got to be a fucking monk. You just got to fucking beat the shit out of people. And I don't know if he says that, but, you know, he's very testosterone driven. Like, you just got to fucking own it. You know?
And then on the flip side of that, he does try to at least give anybody the chance to talk about whatever it is, whether it's nonsense or not.
He's a good podcaster because he will listen and give perspective, but then he'll just give his perspective of like, yeah, you gotta just fucking, you know, overcome that shit.
Yeah,
just be tougher. And I like, again, I like some of his podcasts are great because of who he interviews. He interviews
usually such
interesting people, and the conversations are interesting.
Yeah, they really are. And you know, he's done a lot for comedy. like the comedy scene. You know, he's very pro. You know, it's like a comic should be put down for.
I'm not trying to say anything.
Oh yeah, no, I know. To
disagree with some of the stuff that he.
Yeah, but yeah, some of the stuff it's like the you know, his kind of mantra sometimes is a bit much for me. Don't hate the guy. I mean, jealous. I would like a huge Spotify deal. You know, that'd be great. But, you know, I haven't hosted Fear Factor yet, so I get it. I got to pay my dues.
Or UFC, or he's done so much shit.
So many things.
I mean, you got to give it to him. The guy hustles. The guy fucking works hard. He's got to where he is because he put in the work.
Yeah, so. And he was the one who took down Carlos Mencia, man.
Oh yeah, for fucking stealing people's jokes. Yeah,
he went on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, everybody's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And then like now,
and then I went. And, you told me that, and I went and watched that.
Yeah, it's crazy. So you know he's a guy of integrity is one of his qualities, and he wants to be the co-host of the show. I mean, I'm hesitant because
lining up.
I think it would take a little bit too much away from what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do here, which is a talk about Godzilla versus King Kong, dude.
Dude.
You watched the trailer for that?
It's a dope trailer. Yeah. It's a very, like, just Kong with the axe.
Yeah. At the end.
That was dope. That was like, I was like, all right, cool.
For the listeners, if you haven't seen it, pause this podcast. Go watch Godzilla versus King Kong or Godzilla versus Kong. Trailer and come on back. We're gonna talk about it a little bit.
Let's be honest. These movies, Godzilla, King Kong, whatever, you're not watching them for the plot. You're not like, oh, this is gonna be real good. Like sometimes they have interesting plots.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking monster movie. Like, I'm gonna watch this because I wanna watch Godzilla and fucking Kong duke it out. In reality, I believe that Godzilla would wreck Kong. Like, I don't know.
If a
dinosaur like creature that could fucking swim in the water and had energy beams that he could shoot out of his mouth, he would just shoot them and kill Kong.
Yeah.
Why would Kong's body be able to not be killed by that? But maybe they'll come up with some shit that says, oh yeah, well, Kong is just, because honestly, it seems like a cool premise. I love when they go into lore. And
oh,
that's
what
this whole movie looks like. And I'm like, oh, cool. They're going to develop a whole history for this. And that's what I like in movies, which is why some movies I don't like because they don't give me enough lore. Like Fright Night, I wanted more. I like they went into it.
Oh, I love that
more
movie.
I wanted more lore. Like the new Fright Night I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
yeah,
the old one's fine too. But the new one, they kind of like went into it a little. And they were, I was like, oh, cool. You're developing. But I like when they – you know, they go throughout history and you can see different, like, oh, this was here, this was there. That I'm like, oh, that's cool. How they try and work it in. And this looks like they're going to do that with
now,
Kong versus Godzilla.
Did you see, I mean, there have been two Godzilla movies prior to this that are leading up to this movie. And then there's Kong Skull Island. Did you watch all of them?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think for me, arguably the best one is Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, well, just because John C. Reilly.
John C. And I think it's actually a pretty good movie overall.
Yeah, no. It's
especially because it focuses more on Kong rather than the people. Because, like, it just kills characters. Like it's, they don't even care. Which is, like, that's how it would be with these big monsters, you know?
Yeah, why would they care?
Exactly. And, I was reading a little bit, you know, before the show about, you know, because one of the things everybody's saying is, like, there's no way King Kong is the size of Godzilla. Like, that big enough to, like, fight him. Now, obviously, if they're going to... I mean, because people are idiots. So, in Kong Skull Island, he's only, like...
That's, like, the one premise that I'm fine with. I'm like, why can't they be the same size? That's fine.
I know. It's stupid. But apparently, they in Kong Skull Island, they kind of already cover that base. They say, like, because he's probably up to, like... Like the size of one of Godzilla's legs in that movie, but that movie takes place in Skull Island. That place a place around the Vietnam War, like 60s, 70s, and like something like John C. Reilly says in the movie is like Kong, you know, his whole family was killed by the god of the scorpion. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, of the god of the dinosaurs, which might be Godzilla. Oh. And it's like he's been growing ever since. And that explains why he's that big now. So
yeah, I don't really have a problem with King Kong being like it make him however big you want. That's not my issue. That's like I want them to be on equal size. Like I don't why would you want King Kong to not be like as far as we're
yeah.
it's a made up world anyway. Why can't exactly. you say you can give him any qualities? If you're mad that King Kong's too small, just make him bigger. It's a movie. Like and that's a good logic. Like they can do that. He keeps growing. Or maybe, again, they could make something up in the new movie that makes him that big, and I'm fine with that. That would not be my issue ever.
Yeah.
Like, that he's not big enough. Or in the other movie, he was smaller. But, yeah, he can grow. Why can't he grow?
I mean, so the it's funny since the trailer came out over the weekend, I think it was. Like the meme has come up. It's almost become like the new Team Edward versus Team Jacob, Team Kong versus Team Godzilla. And like all the memes are like Godzilla fans are like writing an essay as to why Godzilla could win.
Yeah.
And then all the King Kong fans are going like big trolling. Monkey.
Yeah. Just I figured that's I mean, I'll be honest. I kind of want Kong to win, even
Hell
though
yeah.
I think like just because fucking Kong like, dude,
I mean, that I shot in the trailer where he's like jumping and like catching the beam.
Yeah, but that's with the axe.
With the axe? That's
blocking
awesome.
It with the axe. That's why I was like, fucking Kong. That's how he beats him. Fuck, like, because, I mean, no offense, but Godzilla is, like, they're just, Godzilla's the best king of monsters. Someone's got to put him in his place. Kong, and because I don't think Kong's, like, a bad guy, you know? Kong's just trying to live. Kong just doesn't want to be, wants to be left alone. And the people are fucking taking him one place, and I'm excited for the movie because I want to see what they do with like the lore and what they do with like Godzilla and King Kong and where this battle back in history, you know, between giants and give me I want all that. I want if they don't do a good job, I'll give them shit for it, but at least they're trying, you know.
Yeah, I mean I'm pumped, but like let's be real. I think, and they're not going to show it in the trailers, I think what's going to happen is like Mecha Godzilla shows up and they're gonna have to team up and fight him.
But you know? Isn't Mecha Godzilla like a robot?
Yeah, I don't know. Something's gonna happen.
Like even the last Godzilla, I wasn't a huge fan of how they did it because
which one was that? Was that King of Monsters?
Godzilla King of that was
I don't
the
know
one
if
where
I saw that one.
You didn't see that one?
Where, I saw the one before it.
Ghidorah, is it the three-headed? And Ghidorah's like an alien from a different planet that just, like, is crazy strong.
No, actually, for some reason I skipped that one. I need to watch it.
It's a good, I'm not going to sit here and say it's, it's a great,
but it's like a good big monster
movie.
I like
what they tried to do with, like, the lore. I like the whole, with Mothra, there's Mothra's in it, and Mothra's a good guy. I thought they did a good job with the kind of connecting Godzilla with Mothra and Ghidorah. I think, is it Ghidorah? Who's the three-headed?
Yeah, Ghidorah.
Is it King Ghidorah?
Yeah.
But Ghidorah's like this alien because all these monsters are supposed to be like from Earth. They're like Earth protectors. And Ghidorah, the history, like Ghidorah came in and fucked them all up. And then like the other monster, pretty much Ghidorah enslaves the other monsters to controls them too, because they're afraid of him, because he's this badass fucking three-headed dragon thing. But
yeah,
it's a worth a watch if you like those movies. You should watch it.
I like before the quote unquote kaiju movies, like even like Pacific Rim, like the original Pacific Rim.
I
like that movie.
Yeah, I love the original Pacific Rim. I didn't see the second one just because I don't know.
Yeah,
one was fine. I didn't think I like standalone movies, and I think that one was fine just to be a standalone movie because it was cool. But I mean, I always like Gundam and all those, you know, animated shows. So when that came out, and especially because it was done well. The you know, I had Charlie Day, who comic relief. You had, It was just, I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was. So I'm pretty pumped. I mean, it's undoubtedly going to be a dumb movie, right? But yeah, like, but dumb fun. Like,
well, when I heard about it, I was like, what? Because you were like, you're making a Kong versus Godzilla. I was like, why?
They had already done it, actually. Like,
honest, really?
Yeah, like, you know, when it was like a guy dressed up as Godzilla and King Kong. Like,
well, I just was like, because in my mind, Godzilla would win just based on what I've seen Kong stats. And what I've seen from. Well, just because Kong almost died from those, like, things. Why would. Like,
oh, yeah.
Those things. Godzilla would fuck those little fucking skull crawler things up. And Godzilla can also just shoot a fucking beam of energy out of his mouth. Like, that's kind of OP.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, OP. That, in my mind, I just feel like you just shoot that at fucking. But unless he blocks it with his super fucking axe, which, again, that's what I'm all for that. I'm 100% for Kong. Like, not that I got anything against Godzilla, but Kong's the underdog in this.
Yeah, man. I'm Team Kong all the way. I mean,
I want to see him slap around Godzilla with that axe.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. I mean, you know, I guess we'll definitely find out. But so I thought it'd be fun. This is a good segue, right? There's no segue. I'm just saying. I'm just switching topics.
If you just say this is a good segue, that's a segue.
This is a good segue. This week I got to thinking about my favorite sandwiches of all time. Because I had one.
I have a couple honorable mentions that didn't make the top five.
I would love to hear your we'll do honorable mentions first or last.
Oh, I can do them first if you want.
Yeah, let's do your honorable mentions first before we get to our number five each. So all right. We're gonna do our top five each.
So honorable mention, the Champ sandwich from Quick Check.
The Champ sandwich.
It's kind of like a Reuben. It's like turkey, coleslaw, and Thousand Island dressing, and on whole wheat. And I used to get it all the time.
Was that what they called it?
It was called the Champ sandwich. That 100%. That's what they call. And it wasn't. It was a pre-made sandwich. Like you just picked it up. Yeah, you just grab it from like, you know, they had that like little kind of long ovalish, you know, thing in the center.
Yeah. Like the,
like,
you know,
fridge, kind of refrigerated
to go kind of thing.
Yeah. I would grab one of those all the time. And they were just, I'm a Reuben guy, It was like a cold turkey Reuben. And oh my God, I would grab that all the time. One of my other ones was, it's similar. It's that pickle sandwich that was like a Reuben. The one that was on a pickle.
At Cats at Elsie's.
The one, yeah. I never went to it, but you guys got me one, and that was nice. That was, but it doesn't make my top five. But
interesting,
those two,
interesting.
They're not, you know, they're not like high end sandwiches, but
I mean, they don't have to be high end, man. It's it is what it is. You want to start with your number five then?
All right, number five: pork roll, egg and cheese on a everything bagel from Bagel Delight. That's my number five. Yeah, in town.
Lambert. Damn. Dude.
Yeah,
I mean, I
don't know. Some people don't like their bagels. I really do. I really like their.
They're fine. They're good.
I don't know. I prefer them to a lot of places, and their pork roll egg and cheese is very nice. It is, especially with a little ketchup. Ooh, they're not even open. They're like only open on like Fridays now.
That's weird.
Because I used to go there a lot because I would walk the dog and I'd get up early and I'd just go down there and get a sandwich while I was walking her, and pork roll, egg and cheese. That's I was also, because it was between two, I wanted to do one breakfast sandwich, and Sneddon's, Sneddon's is like a go-to, but honestly, whenever I think of breakfast sandwiches, I always think of a bacon, egg and cheese from Connie's in Farmingdale.
Damn.
Like, yeah.
They make a good bacon, egg, and cheese.
So it was between that. It was between Connie's bacon, egg, and cheese and Bagel Delight's pork roll, egg, and cheese. And that's why I'm coming in at my number five. So.
All right. So, I mean, for my honorable mention, I would say a pork roll and cheese from a place by me called Gronsky's Milk House. They do it on a roll, like a Kaiser roll. It's the bomb.com. I mean, any pork roll and cheese is always going to be, you know, up there for me. You know, gotta love a pork roll and cheese. But my number five is actually the Elsie's homage to Cats, that Reuben style. Pickle sandwich. I mean, every time I go there, I'm never disappointed. I love that sandwich. I mean,
it was good. It just, I only had one, and like, it's delicious, but that, like, there is a lot of juice, and like that was my only, like, with the whole size of the, like, I love the pickle flavor and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of, like, the pickle's thick. It's a thick, like, I wouldn't mind if they carved it out a little more and you gave me a little less pickle bite and more of the meat and stuff. But it is delicious. It's phenomenal.
It's a great sandwich. And the thing I love about, I mean, pretty much any of their sandwiches. So for context, there's a place called Elsie's in Haddonfield, New Jersey, South Jersey. Instead of bread, they use fucking big ass pickles for the
giant
buns.
Pickles.
So if you don't like pickles, it's not going to be for you. But if you do like them, I recommend you try it. Because, like, I think initially you're like, is that going to be good? And then you bite into it.
But again, if you don't like pickles.
yeah. And,
and it's their own brine.
Mm-hmm, they make their own brine. They do big-ass, like, I don't know, like nuclear plant cucumbers they throw in there. They're huge. And the thing is, like, you think, like, oh, it's just going to be a pickle sandwich, whatever. It's not going to fill me up. It's not bread. And then, like, you eat it, and you're, like, stuffed. So, like...
Well, you're real stuffed. Dude, I don't even think I finished a full...
It's tough to finish.
Sandwich. I saved it for later. Ooh, actually, I have another honorable mention that I remembered.
Hit me.
That General Tso's, the rice sandwich.
Oh, at the Speak Eatery in Asbury Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was... I forgot about that, but that's that a good one is... one. Because I didn't know if that was like a burger. I was trying to think if that was like a burger or a sandwich, but it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, it's I count burgers in this.
Yeah, you count burgers? So, okay.
Yeah, because I count burgers in anything with like a bread. Oh, yeah, nosh, yeah.
But again, I don't know if that was the best. It was just very different. And mm-hmm. It was good, but it wasn't like I had the one with... Literally, the buns were mac and cheese, fried mac and cheese. But so these are still honorable mentions. But yes, that what was I saying?
The General Tso's chicken Tso's sandwich.
Yeah, with the rice patty eatery. Kind of thing.
Yeah, so they make the bun like a rice, like almost like a sushi thing.
Like a big. Just think of a little circular bun of rice. Mm-hmm. They put sesame on it too.
Yeah,
that. Yeah, and then the middle is just General Tso's, like, chicken and I think a little, like, lettuce or whatever maybe broccoli.
Yeah, maybe.
That was good.
Yeah, they make some good sandwiches. They almost made my list. I mean, pretty much anything there probably would be honorable mention. Anytime I've been there, it's been awesome. What's your number four?
So this is a just me thing. It is...
Okay.
So, like, it's not you're not going to hear about this from many people. This is a Fine Food and Flowers boneless barbecue spare rib sandwich.
Okay. Fine Food and Flowers, honestly, Lamberville, New Jersey? Like, is that the same?
Lamberville, New Jersey, Fine Food and Flowers, barbecue spare rib sandwich with onions and provolone cheese, extra sauce. I don't know. Like, it's literally just... For me, it's a better, much better McRib. It's like not a tangy, because it's that same, like, you know, meat in a sense, whatever that meat is.
Pig anus.
Pig anus, whatever it is. But it's good, though. It's not the tangy sauce. It's you get onions and you get provolone, and it's in the roll. They always use great rolls down there. It's like it's almost like a Jim's cheesesteak roll.
Really?
And yeah, they use good rolls. Even their breakfast sandwiches. Their breakfast sandwiches, I prefer to Sneddon's because they put, like, if you get a sausage, egg, and cheese, they put two sausage patty on top, like over the egg, and then under. So you get two, like, they do a good job. But their boneless spare rib sandwich, it's a meat, like, the guys that actually, Mark will support me on this, because Mark will be like, I'm craving a bone, like, it's good. It's really good.
I don't think I've had their, like, tortas from there, which are always excellent. Like a roast pork torta, where they kind of, like, slice the roast pork, and you just, it's not a whole lot else to it. You just bite into it. It's, like, amazing. But, yeah, man, I believe it.
But I will, I've had easily probably 30 of these sandwiches in probably the last 2 years. I get these a lot, especially when I'm working at the liquor store. Like,
It's right around the corner.
And I'm never disappointed. I don't even get the, I won't even be working. I'll get them when I'm at my house. Like, I crave them.
Damn.
And they for me, again, it's not everyone's cup of tea. It's much, very much like a McRib in a sense. It doesn't have that tangy, and it's different bread.
Yeah.
But yeah, boneless spare rib sandwich from Fine Food and Flowers, Lambertville, New Jersey.
That sounds good. So my number four, now I wrote down any burger from a place called Wingcraft in AC, Atlantic City. Specifically one burger, which I think they've rotated out of their menu, but they rotate back in. They made a poutine burger, right? This some burger with like with the cheese curds and like gravy soaked fries on top. It was, now I would work the AC Beer Fest and be drunk by the end. Walk, because the place was like right across from the convention center, so you could walk there and then just like, it's the best burger, and I've had it sober too. I don't want to say that I've only had it drunk, but like, it is so good, and any of their other burgers are excellent. So I would say that for sure.
That sounds delicious. They used to have in California, it's called Smokes Poutinery, and they had like, I poutine was like my, because they have like all different types of poutine. You can get pizza poutine, you can get cheeseburger poutine, you can get just basic poutine. So poutine, and they all have like gravy, you know, even with the pizza one, they still soak it in like that gravy.
And, oh, so good. I'm, dude.
Yeah, dude. Fries and gravy and little cheese curds.
Mm-hmm.
Can't it's go
just,
wrong with that.
It's just Canadians, next level, right? Man. Hey, I mean, they know what they're doing. I mean, let's be real. You're number three.
What number three, More Than Q fried chicken sandwich.
Ooh, that's a solid sandwich, man. That's an honorable mention for me. It didn't make my list, but
that is, dude. I every time I forget how good it is, and I'm like, ooh, I could go for one. And they throw two fried chicken pieces on. You got coleslaw. You got their, I don't know what kind of sauce that, chipotle.
It's like a sriracha, like mayo kind of.
Oh,
like,
yeah, sriracha mayo. Yeah, yep. And every time I eat it, I am like, this is one of the best chicken sandwiches I have ever had anywhere. Like, anywhere. I don't know a better chicken sandwich I've ever had.
Oh, man. And well, it's always my good. Number three.
It's
might
never been bad.
Might be. I mean, I rank my number three above More Than Q.
You rank your number three?
Yeah, which is sandwich as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd have to. But, have I but, had that chicken sandwich?
No, you have not. So,
okay.
But to be fair, More Than Q's chicken sandwich is one of the best sandwiches. It's like, again, definitely top 10 for me.
I've had a lot of chicken sandwiches, but I haven't had all of them. So,
yeah,
from,
well, that's
in
fair.
My life. This is the best chicken sandwich that I have had so far.
Damn. I want one, dude.
Yeah, no, dude, I know, dude. Every time I think about it, I'm like, oh. Because it's just, I guess it's, is it like cornmeal breading on the chicken? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's cornmeal breading.
It's so good. I love it. I love the texture. I love.
And it's like dark meat, too. It's not like a white meat chicken.
It's dark meat chicken, exactly. And maybe I should preface that. I have always been a dark meat chick. Just
hell yeah, dude.
Like, I'm a dark meat turkey guy. I like dark meat. I think it has more flavor. Other people disagree. That's fine. It's just what I like.
I eat ass. Obviously, I like dark meat, you know?
Yeah, you sent me that Mark Rubel or...
Revelé, yeah.
Revelé, yeah.
So, yeah, and my number three, which I think does top, but you obviously haven't had it, and I would like to take you there. It's not too far from where I am. It's it's a Nashville hot chicken sandwich from a place called Namkeen in Chatham, New Jersey.
Namkeen.
So it's a Pakistani just fried chicken place that opened like not that long, like within the pandemic. It's like it's brand new.
In the pandemic?
They opened in the pandemic, and there's always like a 20 to 30 minute wait for your like chicken sandwich.
Like, really?
I love spicy food. You can choose the spice level. So I always get hot.
You told me about this when you got it.
It was, yeah, I definitely sent a Snapchat. It was so good. I'm not kidding. It's so hot. Like the oil and the hot definitely give me diarrhea, right? 100%. Worth it. I would do it every day.
Every day you do diarrhea?
Maybe 6 days a week. I'd take a day off.
Gotta take a day of rest for God. Jesus.
But it is so good. And, you know, they threw their, like, you know, their kind of coleslaw on it and, like, I think pickled onions and stuff like that. And it just, the chicken just melts in your mouth and the bun is, like, kind of buttery. I'm salivating right now. Thinking about it.
That's when I was describing the other fried chicken.
But
you can taste it when you've had it. You're like, oh, I can taste it.
But so it comes. I mean, you can choose the heat level on it. Like, I think it's hot, medium, mild, and then like naked. Like, so you can get no spice on it. My lady gets it like mild, and I think she may have gotten it medium before. And that's got some spice, so like enough that you're tasting it, but like still manageable. And then, I would loop a couple of their, they have two other sandwiches on the menu too. You can get that same sandwich, but with, waffle as the bun.
Waffles as the bun?
Yeah. Waffles as the bun. So
have
they
you
put
done
it,
that?
I tried that too. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they also do a, like a tikka sandwich.
Marsala?
So it's like a fried chicken. And they have like a tikka sauce with like a mint chutney.
I love Indian food.
Oh yeah, so. Me too, man. So yeah, this place was amazing, and their Nashville hot chicken is my number three easily, and it almost was number two. I'll say that. But I won.
I'm interested what your one or two. Obviously we know both of we have some of this. Obviously our one and two.
There's going to be one that's
one of them
similar.
Is
going
to be the same. I just don't. No, it's my number one. Just because
it's mine as well. But I bent the rules a little bit for my number two. But let's hear what your number two is.
Okay, so my number two is Vol Taco, an Italian hoagie from Vol Taco in Ocean City.
Italian hoagie from Vol Taco in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Dude, it is literally. You can look it up. I'm sure it's probably on lists as like the best sandwiches in New Jersey.
Spell Vol?
VOLTACO. Just look up Vol Taco sandwiches. I'm sure they're on the list. Dude, they have the best bread. So I also love they give you a ton of onions, and it's all diced, like real fine. Diced onions, diced lettuce, and then they lather it up. And it's almost like Jersey Mike's that they give you – because we order it to go. So they give you oil and vinegar on the side, but they will lather it up in – oil and vinegar, and it's the bread. The bread they use is not like any bread. It's like a big bag. Like, it's always crunchy. It's always like the outside's crunchy with the inside soft. And it is my favorite Italian sub of all time and for will ever. Like, I've never had Jersey Mike's. I like Jersey Mike's. And
yeah. Jersey Mike's is good.
Like an
for
honorable
chain,
mention
right?
in Italian, but Vol Taco Italian sub. By far is one of my favorite sandwiches, just but my easily my favorite Italian.
Dude, I'm looking at pictures right now. Dude, I want to destroy every one of these sandwiches. They look amazing. Yeah,
they do a great job. But the I'm telling you, and they also they do their own like sweet peppers and pickles and like they so Ooh. You can buy those. And we usually, I mean, when I go, I get all of that on it. You know, pickles, sweet peppers, I don't maybe banana. I haven't been to Ocean City in like 2 years. But every time we would go down, we would get full taco. They're expensive, but oh my God, they are fantastic. I can't say forever unless something comes along that's better than that. But as of now, the best Italian hoagie I've ever had.
Now, I gotta say, I'm a little jealous that you were able to get an Italian hoagie on here, because I was hoping to get like a good Italian hoagie on there, and I've had a lot of good ones, right? But Ooh, nothing that was like, holy shit, I gotta have it from this specific place, you know? So I'm gonna have to try Voltaq because I've never had it. It sounds amazing.
It is. I mean, it is to me. It's just everything I want. It's a small little place in Ocean City, but I love it. I love their Italian, and they do cheesesteaks. They do a lot of stuff, but I'm telling you, it's the bread. The bread is really, and that's same with cheesesteaks. Cheesesteaks has a lot to do with the bread too.
Oh yeah.
It's, I'm thinking about it now. I'm just like, crunches yeah, in the mouth.
I'm like 100% eating something after this podcast.
Oh yeah, 100%. Voltaco in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Damn, dude. So here is my first one out of New Jersey. Number two for me is the brown butter lobster roll from Eventide Oyster Company.
Fuck, I completely forgot. Dude, that should make that should be in my especially top three. Dude, damn.
Yeah, you're right. That is one of the best things I've ever had. God.
That one just skipped my mind.
That counts as a sandwich, right? I would say so.
That one, no, 100%. That's a lobster roll. That's it's a sandwich.
Okay. Dude, I don't know if anybody's going to hop on here and be like, you know, that's not a sandwich, dude.
Ah, dude, you're right. That one, oh my God, that might even, I mean, that might be my, that one is fucking delicious.
I mean, that place, Eventide Oyster Company in general, is probably the best meal I've ever had. And compounded by the fact that they have this brown butter lobster roll, which is like, it's unique to them. Like, right, there's two different kinds of lobster rolls. You can have the main lobster roll, which is like, you know, like cold with mayo, cold, and then there's like the Connecticut one with like regular butter, and then they do like this like brown butter one that's just like, it melts in your mouth, and it's just like,
oh my God,
lobster goodness. And it's in Portland, Maine. If you're ever up there, obviously, this is the place to go. I had the pleasure of going a couple of years ago, and I went this past September when I was up there, and it was just as amazing as I remember. And I was a lot more sober this time.
Yeah.
And so I mean, yeah, that's my number two.
No, I wholeheartedly support that decision. I completely forgot about that. And yeah, that is a phenomenal sandwich, and everyone should experience. If you like lobster rolls, if you like, because it's not a typical lobster, it's a warm lobster roll, which not all, like most lobster rolls, especially up there, are going to be cold. You're going to get the cold, the traditional, you know, the mayo and lemon, right? They squeeze like lemon over it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, oh, yeah. God, I ordered another. Did we all order seconds? Because
we ate so much.
Our bill was also, that place was so expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
but worth it. 100% worth it.
Yeah, it was one of the best meals I've ever had, and so I mean, I have a feeling that our number ones are going to be the same.
Well, yeah, no, we both have the same one, but this is because there's so many memories too with like going here, and it's just like, every time I eat it, it's amazing. It's great. And I'm always like, for me, I need a sandwich and a half.
Yeah.
That's like the perfect amount. Because I always want another one, but I don't want a whole sandwich. I can't finish another whole. So Chew, you want to say it? Because
yeah, we can say the same... say it at the same time. One, right. Two, three. Jim's cheesesteaks.
On South Street. We didn't really say it at the same time. On South
Street.
But...
Yeah, South Street, Philadelphia.
We gotta start looking into, because people say there's other.
Yeah.
Jim's is on a lot of people's lists, but they're, it's never really like number one on a lot of people's. Like they'll list it, but it's always like two or three, and there's other places. And I haven't tried all of the, you know, cheesesteak places.
Yeah.
We tried the, you know, Pat's and Gino's, and they are not even
close. Same
ballpark as Jim's cheesesteaks.
No, not
but
even.
But I do want to try other ones just so I know what else is, you know, just for good comparison of other good cheesesteaks.
Definitely.
But
and
Jim's cheesesteak is, oh my God. It's a lot of it for me has to do with the roll too.
Oh yes. It's excellent roll. And then this, I mean, like, yeah, I know they're like dumping grease like on there, but like that meat is just like, it melts in your mouth with the whiz. Or okay. Provolone, so, or whatever you get.
That's the thing. I know a lot of people that are not whiz cheese people. Like they, like my girlfriend, she's like, it's just, it feels so, it's like it tastes fake. She's like, it's just, it tastes like
canned. Oh, it's 100% fake.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't get, dude, it pairs so well. I love it because I always get mushrooms. I get mushrooms, onions, whiz. I mean, I do whiz-wit. Whiz-wit is, wit is onions. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Add mushrooms and... And then I try and do like a little extra whiz and then ketchup on it. And every time, I could just down those things like they're,
so
every
good.
Time. I have not one time ever been disappointed with a cheesesteak from there, ever.
Oh, yeah. And they treat you like shit in there. It's awesome. You go in, they're like, what the fuck you want? You know, it's like, it's amazing. And like, you know, part of me wonders, like, you know, how it never really makes a lot of people's like number one. It might almost be kind of like not cool for that it to be someone's number one because, you know, it's on South Street. It's like a lot of tourists go there, et cetera. But yeah. It is really fucking good. I mean, I have no doubt that some other ones could be better. And I would
When's
love to try them.
When's the last time you've been there?
It's been a long time.
I've been there. I went there when Kilo and Gilbert, remember when they were.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Over
they,
the summer?
Yeah, they. I went down to. They came down to Philly and stayed at my girlfriend was watching her friend's house. And we all stayed there, and then we went down and got them. And Kilo was a vegetarian, and he took a bite, and he was like, "This is delicious." This
really?
Yeah, because he's kind of like he tries to be vegan when he can, but oh my God, it's just so good. It's just so good.
It really is, man.
I'm thinking about it now, and just. Because the rolls aren't – there's – like talking about Voltaga. Voltaga has like a crunchy outside. They're not crunchy. It's more soft. It's more of a soft roll. And you got to have a fresh roll too.
Oh, yeah. Because
if you get a – like, and they've always been fresh every time. You know who also makes a pretty good cheesesteak inside the station? What's it called? You know,
Reading Terminal Market.
Reading Terminal Market. There's a couple places in there. That
roast
do
beef too, or roast pork in there. Yeah, there's a couple places that like the roast pork in South Philly. I gotta try. Like my mom's always talking about it, and I mean, you know, but you know, these are the five best sandwiches I would say I've had, and you know.
Yeah, I might take off. The barbecue spare rib sandwich and add the brown butter lobster roll because I just completely forgot about that. And that once you said that, I was like, yeah, that one is a fucking.
It's like it's an all time.
I think I like anytime I think about Portland or going back up there, I'm like, I gotta get that again. I
got 100%.
I just wanna, you know, when you have something so delicious, you just wanna take other people to be like, you have to experience this. You have to try this. It's so
and
good.
That's what I did with my lady, man. I took it. She doesn't even like seafood that much, and she was like, this is amazing, you know.
It really is so good.
So yeah, man, that's the Tommy John Show's top five sandwiches, and it's gonna take us down to the rec room.
Do you know there's a game, there's on the Oculus Rift, there's a game called the Rec Room.
I'm not surprised. I mean, does it have like paintball and shit on it?
It has like paintball, pinball. It's pretty much like a you can go hang out with your friends, and there's a bunch of, like, you know, it's kind of like me or Wii Sports esque like okay. vibe to it.
That's
but,
cool.
I was looking up games too, because my girlfriend's son has an Oculus, and I'm like looking at games that would be fun, and also I can't get too, you know, like rated, you know, mature games. So I'm like looking at the fun, kind of like kid friendly games, and that one came out. I was like, oh, there's something called The Rec Room. So
yeah, well, I'm suing them. So
yeah, sue them, do it.
Yeah. What do you got to recommend, man?
I'm gonna recommend a book. It's called Whoa. The Problem of Increasing Human Energy by Nikola Tesla.
All right.
it's just a book about, like, he basically just states what he thinks, like how humans can. He breaks down human energy into almost like an equation in a way, and like what deters us from progressing as humans. And it's like pretty much ignorance. He puts things into positive and negative categories, and like ignorance and lack of, you know, trying, you know, knowledge is a plus. He thinks war is a negative thing that's not going to benefit it's not going to benefit the whole of humanity. He just speculates on like what will it's he talks about like different metals and like at that time how iron was the predominant metal, and how aluminum, he predicted like aluminum would be much cheaper and better conductor, and he talks about just a bunch of different things that he's very accurate on, like things pretty much. He talks about if you know, Nikola Tesla created he's responsible for radio waves. He's responsible for the Tesla coil. He's created a lot of things that
he didn't get credit for.
He didn't care. Like that's the thing. Yeah. He really didn't care to get credit. Like, he just made things and did things. And Edison, he worked for Edison, and Edison had a coil engine that they used for a lot of their whatever it was. And it wasn't the most efficient, and Tesla said he could make it better, and Edison said he'd give him $1 million if he could make a better version of it. He did, and then Edison laughed at him and said, you don't know how the world works. And so Tesla quit, and then started working for another electric company. And this was right around the time when Edison did the Menlo Park, you know, the light bulb. And Tesla was using different currents, and he was working for a different company. And his electricity that they used was much more efficient and better for, like, you could, with Edison's wires, they were like bigger than your arm, so it wasn't very easy to get electricity to people. With Tesla's, you could have smaller wires. So Edison paid kids to take 25 cents per animal that these kids would steal from anyone who used Tesla's electricity current.
Jesus.
And that's not the worst. Then he took those animals and electrocuted them in public using Tesla's energy current to show that Tesla's energy current was dangerous. But energy current. Yeah. And so people. And then that provoked Tesla to, at the World's Fair, he uses his Tesla coils and runs current through his body to light two light bulbs to show that it's not – has nothing to do with the – like, he just electrocuted dogs. If he did it with his current, it would have killed the dogs anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Edison was fucked up.
Yeah,
Nikola – dude, he talks about crazy stuff and things that you just don't understand how he understood this at that time period. Like, he was trying to build a wireless energy network using the Earth's like magnetism and the Earth as like a conductor. And people speculate that the company he was working for shut it down because they would have like lost a lot of money if he was able to do it. So like, that was one of his biggest failures. And there's other reasons why it didn't work, but
yeah,
it's a very, dude, the guy is very interesting. And actually, until the age of 12, he had like a photogenic memory, and or yeah, photographic, whatever it was. So he had a, it's almost like a form of synesthesia. When anyone would say a word, he would see that, like visually, actually Jesus. See.
That's crazy.
And he couldn't stop doing that until age 12, but it actually allowed him to recall entire books, like 100% accurate. Like he could, if he read a book, he could recall the entire book. So he was by the end of his life, he kind of went a little crazy, but throughout his life, he just listening to some of the, like the way he talks and the way he understands things. And it was very interesting for being in like the early 19 or, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, and knowing so much about like he pretty much states that we will operate with robots, like the, you know, robots will end up helping us with all our manufacturing, and we will have less of us making things, more of robots, pretty much is what he states. And he's very accurate. He talks about like pretty much cell phones and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting book. The Problem of Increasing Human Energy by Nikola Tesla.
He also invented something that could make, you know, he could copy Hugh Jackman, right?
Well, yeah. And David Bowie.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess watch The Prestige if you haven't.
Yeah, that's a fantastic film.
My recommendation is a show. Just finished the first season, actually tonight, about to start the second season. Fleabag. Yeah. So it's a show that's actually created, written, and starring Phoebe Waller-Bridge. It's a British black comedy. I believe it's on Amazon Prime show.
Yeah.
It follows this protagonist played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who it's kind of a mess. She's like, I don't know, I guess in her 30s, early 30s, you know, like a lot of broken relationships.
Tomatoes gave it 100%.
100%. The show is incredible. I mean, it is so funny and like also like is able to like break your heart too. If you like Ferris Bueller, it's like all fourth wall shit.
Oh, it's like a lot of asides where she talks to the camera.
And she's so like unbelievably talented. It's incredible, man. And like you are so invested in this character and like you can relate to a lot of her flaws, like without like completely having to relate to a lot of her experiences. You know, she's dealing with like a lot of like shit, but like also a lot of it's, you know, her own doing.
Relatable.
So yeah, like it's her own doing. So like, you know, she kind of realizes that to a certain extent. And also in the show is, you know, there's a couple other smaller actors I don't really know. I mean, you know, I've seen them around, but Olivia Colman plays her like kind of stepmother. Olivia Colman is the actress who won the Oscar for The Favorite. You ever saw that one with Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz? She was great in that, and she's like the
I know who she mm-hmm. is.
The perfect antagonist, like so unbelievably hateable, man. You just it's funny and like also like you just want to like strangle this woman. That's how like you know terrible she is. But the show is so funny. Like I've laughed out loud every episode. It's pretty incredible. And you know, it's like, you know, you get a little misty too, man. And, you know, it's a little bit of both. So
it touches the heartstrings, pulls at the heartstrings. It's got, man, Andrew Scott in it too, who he's one of my favorite villains. Sherlock, he plays Moriarty. He's the priest.
He says
he's the priest.
He's in the second season. I haven't gotten to that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Spoilers. No. It's pretty great. And they're short episodes, like 30 minutes. Each season is only like 6 episodes, so like you can blow through it. So definitely.
So you only watched season 1?
Yeah, I only started. We watched 2 episodes a night, and we started 3 days ago. So, I mean, I'm sure I'll finish the second season, which that's all there is so far. I'm sure there might be a third season, depending on how the second season ends. I don't know. But yeah, and I've heard that the second season's, you know, even better than the first, which is going to be a lot to compete with. So, yeah, it's The Rec Room, man.
I'll have to check it out. It sounds good.
It's really good. It's really good. But, yeah, dude, it's going to do it for the show. Got any closing thoughts?
Probably just, I guess, go with Joe Rogan if you think it's best.
Okay. Well, I think he was like, you take it or leave it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to leave it for now. So,
okay. He's got to do some DMT and eat some elk meat or whatever.
Yeah. Well, next in line was Larry King. Well, obviously, that's not happening. Yeah. So R.I.P. Yep. R.I.P. to a legend. A lot of great moments with him.
But, and then after that was Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron, he died too. It's crazy. Yeah.
I know. A lot of people died.
Yeah. I got to love Larry King, who's like gotten married like 8 times. Eight times.
Chaka Soufflé?
Yeah, Chaka Soufflé. No, wait. 8 times, chocolate. 7 different women. Chocolate.
Good guy.
I'm a deeply closeted homosexual. What? No kidding. You know, but, you know, you got to respect the guy. He was like, kept getting married.
I wouldn't say that.
Who would keep getting married, you know? Like, that's he like, obviously
you
loved
watch Community?
The day. What?
You watch Community?
Yeah.
Or like, Pierce, he's like, you know, I've had a lot of wives or whatever. And he's like, but, you know, there's one problem that I have with him. And Jeff's like, what? You keep getting married. That's your problem. Stop getting married.
These guys like the day, man. Like, they like the fanfare. I guess that's it, man. But, yeah, it's going to do it for the show. And you can find me at twitter.com/TommyJohns, Dan at The Rumor Rec, and nookshots.com and patreon.com/TommyJohns. And
Wendigo Boys.
And the Wendigo Boys. Check it out. Hopefully second episode coming out soon. See you.
Just spill your beans, Tommy.